A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
I'm Charles Payne.
I'm Kat Timpf.
I'm Stuart Varney, and this is the Fox News Rundown.
Thursday, May 26th, 2022. I'm Alex Hogan. The UN says nearly 4,000 civilians have been killed in Ukraine since Russia invaded, and roughly 1,000 people are fleeing west every day, hoping to find safety.
To be a refugee is unfortunately the everyday destiny for so many people in the world.
This is the Fox News Rundown, War on Ukraine.
Hey, welcome to IKEA, where even this desk is circular.
Huh. How so? Looks pretty rectangular to me.
It's because we're always looking to repair, reuse, and relove our products, like buying back your IKEA items for store credit. Or shop our as-is section for great deals. You can even order free spare parts. Get on the circular path for a more sustainable future.
Still a rectangle.
Get started at ikea-usa.com/circular. Visit ikea-usa.com/circular for as-is information and buyback and resale terms and conditions. Spare parts not available for all products.
14 million Ukrainians are out of their homes. They're either homeless within the country or living abroad. Evacuations have slowed since the initial days of Russia's invasion, but Ukrainians continue to flee the country as governments and humanitarian aid organizations assess where the help is most needed right now.
We are standing now with 6.66 million people who fled in the last 3 months.
This is Chris Meltzer, Senior External Relations Officer at the UN Refugee Agency.
And this is indeed unprecedented. I was 5 years ago in Bangladesh for the Rohingya situation, and that was normally our textbook example for a fast-evolving refugee crisis. And we had about 800,000 people in 11 to 12 weeks, 800,000. We had these 800,000 after 5 days, not after 11, 12 weeks. Yeah. We had more than 1 million after a week. And again, still figures are still rising, slower, but they're still rising.
What is the focus at this point in the invasion?
I think the situation of the refugees, so people who are outside of Ukraine, is relatively good. It is cynical to say that if someone have lost everything, if someone had probably the loved ones still in a war zone, if someone has no idea what he or better she, because 95% of the refugees are women and children, what she can do in 2 weeks or 2 months or 6 months or something like that. It's kind of cynical, I confess that. But it is relatively good because the solidarity of the people helps so much. And the big majority of the Ukrainian refugees in Poland, but also in Germany and in Slovakia or something. They are not living in reception facilities, in something from the state, from the government or something. They are sleeping with, they have found a home with families and so on.
Yeah.
Like we have a small family here in our home, for example.
You do.
All three. Yes, and this is so fascinating that so many people are helping. On the other hand, The problem is probably the time. Solidarity is not endless, at least not at this level we've seen now. And I mean, imagine if you have very good friends in your home for a week, and when they are gone after a week, you think it was nice, but it's good that I have my own space now. Yeah. So it's the same thing, of course, if you have people you have not even knew before. And to do that for a couple of weeks is, it's okay. To do that for a couple of months, it's difficult. And to do that, let's say, for a year or something, of course, this is not that easy. And that's why the time is the factor here.
Yeah. And one thing going off of what you mentioned, so in Poland, 80% of refugees who have crossed the border there are now staying with host families. So not government facilities. These are just individual kind souls who've opened up their homes like you have. And it is a large strain, especially if you don't speak the language with the people who are staying in your home. For you, do the people staying with you, do they speak German?
No, they don't. And the mother, for example, or the grandmother, let's say that way, she's 63. She only speaks Russian and Ukrainian. My Russian is very, very rusty. But the daughter, who's 36, speaks very good English, and this is our lingua franca, where we are communicating. They have a little son who just turned 5, and he starts to speak German already.
And for this family staying with you, what has their story been like? Have they been able to acclimate? Has the 5-year-old been able to go to school? Has he made any friends? How difficult has this been for them?
They are from Kharkiv, so in the very eastern part of Ukraine, and they know that their home, their apartment is destroyed. And that's why they are very grateful that we are right now here safe in Germany. And the grandmother is retired, but the mother, she worked in a gym and as a personal trainer, and she's looking for a job here. And it seems like she can find something, and she is learning German right now. The little one, he goes to a kindergarten, he's quite happy there. I mean, he has covered voice and so on. And the mother said he picks up, his name is Mark. He picks up German so fast that, in half a year or something, he will be more or less fluent in German.
It's amazing to see the resiliency of some of these kids who've been thrown in these situations, and they now are in other countries. They're learning other languages, and they're acclimating. That being said, people do want to go home, and people have started to return to Ukraine.
Yeah, indeed. We saw about 2 million movements. That doesn't mean these are 2 million persons. It's probably one person, probably 5 or 6 times when she's going back and forth. We do not really see a return movement, so that really people are going there to stay there. But indeed, a lot of Ukrainians are going back to Ukraine. We think probably, talking to refugees and also to the returnees, normally they say that they need personal documents. They probably have now in Kiev that they, most of the cases, they say we have relatives. My parents are still there. My husband, of course, who had joined the forces, and I went to see him. Or I want to take a look what's with my property, with my apartment in Kiev or something like that. But it's very rare that people say we are returning to stay again in Ukraine. So that's why we don't really see a movement of returnees. But indeed, border crossings to Ukraine are quite often every day.
It's twofold, because it's some people going back to get the documents that in a hurry they rushed out without grabbing. They only grabbed what they could. But it's also people going back for the emotional closure of finally being able to see where they lived and getting to process and not have to constantly question what their home could look like.
Yeah, exactly. But I think the very personal component, like what's with my parents or even grandparents, what's with my husband or something, this is probably the main reason for these movements. But again, more than 2 million counts we had in the last months.
And as we mentioned, 8 million people in the country are displaced. So those are the people, maybe they've gone home or maybe they never left, but they don't have anywhere else to stay. And there's also 15.7 million people in Ukraine who need humanitarian aid and protection. So what is being done at this point to get those people the help they so desperately need?
We're doing so much, but it is at the end so little, because the problem is so big. As you mentioned, more than 15 million people need help. And the other 8 million people, these are indeed persons who have also lost more or less everything. They have probably, if they have a car, personal things in their trunk, or maybe just in their suitcase, but they have no home anymore, although they are still in their home country. We try to help these people, and I'm not talking just about UNHCR, of course, also other UN agencies like UNICEF, like World Food Programme, and others, OCHA. So what we're doing is that we rush in every day trucks with relief items like sleeping bags, mattresses, cots, like monthly hygiene. I have mentioned blankets, for example, diapers and other things. This is what is needed right now. We also try to identify locations where people can stay, let's say a school or something that is not destroyed, or a gym or so, where we can put in 50, 60, 100 field beds, and that people can stay there for a while, that we can feed them somehow. This is a giant operation for us. It's also a general giant operation, but we can only reach a minority. This is unfortunately also the truth of this, of the whole thing.
We've been speaking to Chris Meltzer, a senior external relations officer at the UN Refugee Agency. More on this coming up.
This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
Unfortunately, this is only one of the major crises that we're looking at in the world. Just this past week, there was the really bleak number that was announced that there are now 100 million people around the world who are displaced. That is the first time that we've ever hit this record. And we're looking at places like Burma and Congo and Ethiopia, just are some of the other places where it's not just Ukraine. And there's been so much focus on Ukraine, but really around the world where people are also in these situations of having nowhere to go.
Absolutely. The good thing is that the eyes are on Ukraine, that there's also so much solidarity for Ukraine, and that we also see that to be a refugee is unfortunately the everyday destiny for so many people in the world. But as mentioned, there are so many other situations, also Syria, for example. And of course, not a single refugee was allowed to go home because there is a new refugee crisis right now. So the number within 1 year, they rose indeed from 82 million to more than 100 million. So every 80th person in the world is displaced. We haven't seen that since World War II, and we can even not even sure if World War II was a bigger refugee crisis, actually. So the need, the distress is immense, and sometimes we don't know where to start. But of course, we continue our work, but we cannot reach all the people. This is really, within the disaster, is also another tragedy.
The High Commissioner for the UN Refugee Agency, Filippo Grandi, he commented on this number, and he said that international aid is helpful, but it is not the long-term fix. And I think for a lot of people who have been listening to this story now for the last 3 months, they feel inundated. And if anything, they're emotionally cutting themselves off to this story because they don't feel like there's anything that is going to change or anything that they can do. That being said, in your opinion, is there anything that people can listen to, that they can try to do to actually make a difference beyond their thoughts, their prayers, and maybe donating a little bit of money?
Donating is so important. Donating money, donating space, donating time to help refugees. This is indeed fantastic. On the other hand, this is also doing something on the symptoms. To cure this thing, we need peace, actually. We need peace and stability. With helping these people, I'm still receiving everyday emails from persons from around the world. By the way, also a lot of Americans, really a lot of Americans, asking me, what can I do? I'm a registered nurse. I was a firefighter. I was a serviceman in the army, and I know how to deal with crises or something. How can I help? Can I be a volunteer or something? And I can only say, yes, please join us. Please help. It's hard, it's tough, but it's also for yourself a very important experience, and you can definitely help people.
Chris Meltzer is a senior external relations officer at the UN Refugee Agency. Chris, thanks so much for joining us.
It was a pleasure. Thank you, Alex.
You've been listening to the Fox News Rundown. Stay up to date by subscribing to this podcast at foxnewspodcasts.com. And for up-to-the-minute news, go to foxnews.com. Kudlow on Fox Business is now on the go for podcast fans. Get key interviews with the biggest business newsmakers of the day. The Kudlow podcast will be available on the go after the show every weekday at foxbusinesspodcasts.com or wherever you download your favorite podcasts.